Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
I'm Jason Ophir, here with Maria Wilson Duff. You're going to have to bear with us. It appears we're both on the verge of falling asleep. We are yawning up a storm. Hey, Maria.
Hi.
falling asleep. It's
Does that mean we're getting old?
Probably has something to do with it. I mean, I'm middle-aged, and I don't recall ever enjoying naps in my younger years, but now it's like, a nap is like gold. It's a commodity.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Do you work odd shifts at work?
I normally work 9:30 in the morning to 8 at night. I work 10-hour shifts, but I get 3 days off, which is kind of nice, so it's a rough 4 days, but I get a decent cool down period. Ideally, I would like to not work at all and be independently wealthy, but that isn't in my future.
That's kind of hard to do when you work. It's the hours that you do, because the 3 days you're off, you just want to sleep and eat.
Yeah, that's literally what I do. I watch TV, sleep, and eat. And it's hard on me because I'm on my feet for 10 hours a day, and you know, it's just rough. But what can you do? I mean, we live in a society now where that's the status quo, and in order to survive comfortably anyway, you have to work your 40 hours a week. I guess I shouldn't say comfortably. I know a lot of people don't work 40 hours a week, or they work 40 hours a week and they're barely able to feed themselves, but in my case, I'm doing quite well. Considering.
Yes, as long as they make pizza, you're good to go.
Oh my God, I had a pizza the other day. It was delicious. I'm trying to stay off the scale, though, because I don't want to know the damage all these pizza and tacos are doing. You know,
pizza and tacos. See, that's just warm weather stuff.
Yeah, it's addictive. What can you do? But that's not a whole lot going on. I was not on last week with you, Sherry, and Andrea Perol. I missed that one, but I'm here this week, and I'm going to try my best to keep the energy level somewhat elevated, although clearly it's not at this point.
Not starting off real well, Jason.
No. I'm a sleepy. I'm a sleepy bear.
Have you done anything for fun or excitement?
Fun and excitement. That would be no. Well, I've been playing some virtual reality because I'm kind of a tech nerd and like video games, and so I get on and do some VR, but not really, you know. It's kind of like my days off are cool down days, you know, but the leg swelling go down because I'm standing all day. Not much.
Uh-oh.
Not much, really.
Time for support hose.
Well, I did, you know, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I did buy a second car, 4x4. So that's kind of exciting. It's always been one of my dreams to walk outside and go, Which car do I want to take today? Do I want to take the Sport Coupe, which has all the Bluetooth and the screen, touchscreen and all that, which is really technically cool? Or do I want to take the older, high-mileage 4x4? And so that is a little exciting for me. And we had a scare of having winter weather up in the Northwest, and I was kind of hoping for it so I could check the four-wheel drive, but that didn't happen. So that's the only thing exciting going on in my life. How about yours?
I also have the luxury of walking outside going, am I going to take the Sports Coupe or am I going to take the 4x4? And, you know, with gas mileage, I always take the car.
What kind of car is it?
It is a 2014 Camaro.
Ooh, is it the six-cylinder or eight-cylinder?
It's the little girl, because I would probably get into a lot of trouble if I had a big girl.
Well, I bet it's still pretty fast.
Yeah, it can get up and go. But, yeah, it sounds good and everything, but I'll look at one that's got an eight-cylinder in it, and I'm like, oh, you could just feel it purring from a distance. But, yeah.
Nice. I have a 2016 Hyundai Veloster, which is this really tiny subcompact sports thing that looks fast, but it's really, really slow. But as long as it looks like it's fast, that's really all that counts. And I hunch over in it because I'm so big. I'm so tall. Like, literally, the top of my head reaches the top of the ceiling. It's hilarious. But I love that little car.
Yeah. Cars are, I like my car. And the one thing I forget about, if I have to go anywhere, like if I'm on my part-time job, sometimes I have to go out and I buy all of the landscaping necessities, you know, all of that good, wonderful mulch and things like that. And then I get to get out to my car, and if there's anything big that I've had to buy, then I have to try to figure out how I'm going to get it into my car. So, like,
and I ran into the same problem.
Yes. I was asked to go buy some shelving, and I went and bought it and got out to my car, and I was like, holy crap, how am I going to do this? So thankfully, the back seat lays down, and I could shove it in from the trunk, and it went from the trunk to the front of the car. So I need to remember to drive the truck more when I have to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I have the same problem. My car is, like, super tiny. It's a lot smaller than the Camaro, and it has these back seats, which are hilarious. They're almost for decoration only, because there's no way you could fit an adult back there. You might be able to fit two toddlers. It's hilarious.
As long, yeah, but, if their feet didn't have to dangle down, they're good.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nice having the utility of a second larger vehicle, which my second one happens to be a Ford Escape, which... I like it.
Well, that's
good. Yeah, so tonight we were going to have June Lundgren on, but we got a last-minute cancel, so we don't have her. So it's just me and you shooting the breeze, talking about whatever.
I hope everything's good with June. And I know Sherry had to work late this evening, so she ditched us too. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yes, life always has a way of interfering with plans.
Have you had anything paranormal to hit your world since the last time I spoke with you?
Ooh, not much, really. I was kind of online a little earlier, and there was something that I was going to talk about briefly, which I find interesting. It's a subject that I find interesting, and I've talked about it a little bit in the past, but have you heard of, like, horror movies that have hauntings? You know, they're, like,
yes,
plagued with hauntings and stuff like that. So I picked a few and I thought it was interesting. Now, you know me, Mr. Skeptical, I think it would be really easy to produce a horror movie, and then if anything weird happens, oh, it must be the devil, or it must be a demon or a ghost. So some of these things I find are probably explainable. But there are some notable films in the past that have had some strange activity, or what people perceive to be strange activity. One of those was the movie Annabelle, you know, with the that haunted doll. And somebody noticed claw marks, three claw marks on some dust on one of the sets, and some lights fell on the set and stuff like that, which I perceive as being completely explainable, but we as humans like to attribute it to the paranormal. But maybe it is. What do I know? I'm just an uneducated lab assistant.
You know, I believe we had, was it Brian Ouellette? The last time that we had him on as a guest, he actually, him and Sister Mary Jane, I think that's correct. Anyway, they actually went and did blessings and throughout that whole set, because of the things that was going on the set, that they actually called them in to pray, and with all of the cast members and everybody involved in the movie.
I don't think it hurts. I mean, just because I don't believe in something doesn't mean it doesn't exist, and I've always said that. But with this Annabelle movie, I guess one of the kind of quirky things about it was this giant glass light fixture fell on the head of somebody that was playing a handyman. And the reason it weirded everybody out was because in the script for the movie, the demon killed the handyman close to where he was actually hit in the head with the light fixture. So people thought that there was...
That's creepy.
You know, but it is a little... I'm not going to lie, it is a little creepy, but... I wouldn't go so far as to say it was paranormal.
I know his comments about that is that when you do horror movies, especially whenever they involve that type of plot, not the slasher movies or anything like that, but when you're doing the actual Exorcist or anything to do with hurtful or evil spirits, that it conjures up that type of energy, and because everybody's acting and they're trying to feel the part and they're really playing the role, and it will bring up that type of energy. So, but I know you've heard about the Exorcist movie, the very first one, and all the strange things that happened on set there.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that's the next one. I don't have a list of everything strange that happened there, but one of the things is they had two sets built on a soundstage. One was the main McNeil house, and the other was Reagan's bedroom, Reagan being the girl who was possessed by the demon. There was a serious fire, and they believed it was caused by a pigeon flying into a light box, but it completely destroyed the house on the soundstage, but it oddly left Reagan's bedroom untouched. So it was like two different sets and one big, huge soundstage. But to me, that's just, you know, a pigeon flying in a power box. But I'm not familiar with other things that have happened, but I do recall hearing some other things. Do you know what they are?
Oh, was it some of the sounds and things like that that was going on? Like
I don't know.
Actual disembodied voices and things like that?
I haven't heard that, but I'm not super up on weird things that happened on that set. Mainly just heard about the fire, and people thought that was really weird.
It's pretty weird.
But and there was another one that people were also a little tripped out about was, do you remember the movie The Omen?
I do. But I don't remember details of that movie.
So they remade The Omen. That was that one where that kid, he was like the Antichrist. I think it originally came out probably late 70s, maybe early 80s. It was really
That's the one that I remember.
Yeah, I remember watching that as a kid, and it really weirded me out. But they ended up doing a remake in 2006, and there was an accident in the processing lab that destroyed 13,000 feet of film, which is pretty much an unheard-of loss on any film set. And it was they didn't get into specifics on what the accident was, but it had everybody baffled, and people were attributing that to kind of a curse on the movie.
See, it does. It makes you wonder the type of energy that's brought in. And also, what props were they using? Did they have things there that were bought at the store or made, or did they find it at an old antique store somewhere and said, oh, this would be good. Let's put this on the set. And it's cursed.
the stuff just runs through your head,
you know.
I think that would be awesome if somebody out there was brave enough to take a ton of cursed items and use them as props in a horror movie to see if anything happened as a experiment. Of course, that never happened. But who knows? I mean, yeah, these prop houses have tons of stuff, and who knows? It could be haunted.
Well, that's like those Zach Bagans Museum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he actually opens that up to the public, and everybody can come in, and everybody's filmed everywhere they go in these things, and they sometimes, you know, he shows reactions that people have near certain types of haunted objects, and mostly a lot of the people are unscathed, but there'll be some people that'll faint or get, you know, nauseated and things like that. I know Ed and Lorraine Warren has their museum, and that was never really opened up to the general public. But it just kind of makes me wonder what types of people were allowed to go near it, to even look at it.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is psychology. Like, as a visitor to a place that has haunted or allegedly haunted items, like, what is happening in your brain? You go in, I can just see somebody's psychology, if they're vulnerable to manifest physical symptoms because of the anticipation of being around haunted things or things that are reputed to be haunted. You know what I mean? Like, how much are the people that have physical symptoms, are they creating that themselves versus some external force kind of thing?
Did you ever watch you always play the devil's advocate. You're good at that, see? They should have a movie and put you in it as the star.
They should have a TV show, and I'll be their skeptic. You can have one person that's a total believer, and then I can be the skeptic. I'd totally be down for that.
Well, there's a movie Zach Bagans did. It was called The Demon House. Are you familiar with it?
I did. I actually rented it.
Okay. So I've recorded the version that they put on TV. You know, you have to go in through the movies and go fast forward through the commercials and stuff. But at the end of it, did you pay attention that he saved some of the dirt that was in that basement and some other objects?
I don't remember that, but I do remember that one of the people that was having issues, I can't remember. I saw it, like, shortly after it was available to rent, so I don't remember it super well. But
it is. And, of course, he's got that museum, so and people send him haunted objects, and then he gets on whatever investigations, and, you know, he'll save that stuff. But if you're tearing a house down, because supposedly his interaction with whatever entity was in that house permanently damaged his eyes. I think that is something. I think it's something like that was to happen, I think I would have to leave that object alone. But he got some of the dirt that was up underneath there, which they kind of thought maybe that was part of one of the reasons that there had been rituals done many years ago in the basement of that house. So who's to say, you know, if you put that dirt on display in a museum, I mean, let people run their fingers through it or whatever, if people have reactions knowing it came from that, I mean, you could just get dirt out of my backyard and put in place of it, and they may have the same reaction thinking it is cursed.
It would be really interesting if you have something cursed, like dirt, whatever, and you did a study where you had the people keep it that were believers, and then you gave it to people that weren't believers. It'd be interesting to see if there was anything to that or not, whether they both had unexplained activity, or my guess would be the people that are totally into it would claim activity, while the people that were oblivious to it probably wouldn't, but who knows. But as a side note, the light in my room just flickered, so that might be paranormal. Might have opened the gateway. Oh God!
It
live.
Could be, or it's windy there. You know, you never know.
I don't know. Lights don't usually flicker down here. Huh?
Well. So maybe we don't need to talk about demons anymore? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the gate's been open. We might as well just keep going at this point. Here's another one for you. Did you see the movie The Nun? Which I thought was absolutely terrible.
I did.
Terrible, over the top. What did you think of that?
If it was a book and you read it, it would probably be better than the movie. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, that was horrible. But there was something interesting that happened on the set of The Nun, if you haven't seen that. That's kind of an offshoot of, isn't it, like The Conjuring and all that whole line of that franchise?
Yeah, it followed that. And then the Annabelle.
Scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that. Well, apparently they were filming in a real-life Romanian castle, and one of the film guys was in a dark space down in the castle. And when he was down there shooting, there's only one way in and one way out. He saw two men talking off in the corner, and he assumed naturally that they were crew members. And the next thing I know, they disappeared, and he was totally freaked out about it, like they were there and they were gone. And there's one way in, one way out. And so that happened in a castle during the filming of that movie, The Nun.
That is crazy.
That would be weird. I mean,
yeah.
If it's dark,
I mean,
or
I'm
your
not,
eyes are. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because you kind of go out of focus. And that's a lot of the investigations that when paranormal investigations, when you do at night. You have to be careful. You can't stare at one certain spot because then your eyes do really weird things. But I could see a mistake being made if he was talking about shadow people. But if he actually saw two full-bodied apparitions standing there having a conversation, that is pretty creepy. And that doesn't happen often. I mean, that right there, if you could have caught that on film and got audio with it as well, that is golden in the world of paranormal investigating.
And here's a question for you. What movie do you think had the most odd occurrences, deaths, or paranormal activity?
I would have thought it would have been The Exorcist, because I know they were on set during filming or later.
During filming and after and all that.
Okay. I would have thought it would have been The Exorcist.
I would too, but apparently the champion is going to be Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that one? That's old.
Yeah,
I guess
that
there
is
were
old.
All sorts of deaths and people getting sick. And so they're claiming that that movie, which I have not seen in ages, was
I don't think I've ever watched that movie.
I recall it. I thought it was pretty good, but it's been a while.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that we watched many, many years ago we think's good, and then we go back and look at it and go, why did I like that movie?
Mm. So there you go. I wonder if you watch, like, you chain watch all these movies, if it'll open a gateway and you'll start having activity.
It would with you.
Probably. It's funny, I don't watch ghost shows, but the other night I was like, I watch a little bit of Ghost Adventures, okay, because I have it. I can stream it. You know, I got all the major stream channels, and I'm like, oh, this one looks interesting. It's where they investigated the Exorcist house.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'd seen it before a long time ago. I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that. I made it about halfway through, and then I started getting freaked out. I was like, you know what, this is probably not a good thing to watch before I go to bed. Because it'll freak me out. So I made it halfway, and I was like, yeah, no, not a good idea. Because I know this from the past. If I watch something a couple hours before I go to sleep, I'll be, like, opening my eyes in the dark, seeing if I can see any movement, and it'll, like, freak me out.
Do you really? That is
funny. Oh, yeah. There were times when I'd actually, a few times, I got myself so riled up I had to sleep with the light on. How ridiculous is that?
That I have never done. I'm knocking on wood as we speak. I've never done that.
but that goes back to how impressionable people's minds are. You know, when these big horror movies come out, there was, I don't remember which one it was, if it was a Conjuring or one of the mainstream big scary movies, some dude in India had a heart attack and died during a screening, you know, and then suddenly there's a curse surrounding the movie. The fact is,
yeah,
bad things
know,
happen.
They do, and it's like when you tell me that you had somebody that died of something like that, natural causes during filming of things like that, that can happen anytime, anywhere, to anybody. Tell me that you found them hung by their feet at the rafters, you know, yeah, and that they were dead. Then I'm going to think something really creepy and evil had happened during filming. But when natural causes like that, I have a hard time wrapping my brain around to put that as paranormal.
Yeah. Have somebody, like, crawling on a ceiling or, like, things floating and levitating. That'll get my attention, not somebody getting sick.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they ran up the wall backwards and, you know, fell to their death from the cathedral ceilings that they were in. Yes, I'll get my attention on that one, but not the natural causes.
Yeah.
But,
have you ever seen the movie... Have you ever seen the movie Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yes. I own that DVD. I love it.
What
movie.
Do you think about that movie? I thought it was pretty good. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
It is very good. And I like the way that they went about showing everything that was going on. The fact that the medical side of it, and then the religious side of it, because those two worlds clash constantly. And, I mean, he could have, even though her parents were involved and knew everything that was going on, they were still going to put him in prison for letting that girl die.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is something that just is so, it can happen so easily. I mean, and there are people out there that are possessed, and the priests do have to be very careful during exorcisms to monitor them and to make sure. And he even had a doctor there, if I'm not mistaken, checking on her. But it was just, and she didn't even really die during the exorcism. They couldn't go forward with the exorcism because she physically was not well enough to handle the strain of it. It was the effects later on that actually killed her. And they were still going to hold him liable for it.
I don't remember too many details of that. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I do recall when I watched it, it was pretty freaky. But the star of that movie, Jennifer Carpenter, they didn't report a lot of paranormal activity on set, but she said that two or three times when she was going to sleep, her radio came on by itself, and it was really scary because one time it came on really, really loud and played Pearl Jam's Alive song.
Oh,
and that was during the course of the filming. But of course, I can see explanations for that. I guess it'd take an investigation to examine the radio. But you know, years ago, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I'd hear the TV on downstairs really loud. And this was pretty freaky. So I'd go down there in the apartment I lived at the time. And it would be cycling through the channels and through the options menu. It was the weirdest thing. And of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, somebody with a remote that's got the same thing. This is the middle of the night. And it would only happen randomly in the middle of the night. And it wouldn't be like where somebody was just flipping a few channels. The TV would just go haywire. And so that was kind of freaky because, you know, it's dark and the lights are off and the TV's going crazy. And another time, years ago, I was sleeping and had a TV come on by itself. So I don't know. Electronics malfunction, I would think that's probable. But it's still...
Aliens?
Maybe aliens.
In your case? Aliens?
Yeah, in my case, it could be aliens. I'm a little bit more inclined to believe in aliens or interdimensional beings versus spirits, but who knows?
Well, you know, with your energy and the way that you can get psyched up pretty well, it might be some type of poltergeist activity.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I have no energy. I'm about to fall asleep. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
See, now, Jason, I took my nap before the show.
I took a nap, too. I'm still tired.
Oh, wow.
This is what happens when you're middle-aged and obese.
I'm older than you. Stop it. Yeah, I'm older than you. I had to think about it for a minute.
You probably don't have a BMI like of 95 like I do.
No.
I get out of breath just reaching for a Mountain Dew.
I get out of breath when I'm packing the 50-pound feed bags to the barn to feed the cows. Does that count?
Yeah. I'm going to be soliciting for our listeners of Paranormal Horizons to send me money so that I can purchase a mobility scooter so that I don't have to be on my feet.
No, now see, you can't do that with your job.
Well,
they'll
have to accommodate me.
Yeah, this is true. They would have to.
We'll have to redesign the laboratory for my mobility scooter.
No, they would actually put you on bedpan duty because you would be the right height for that.
Oh, God, no. Okay, you know, just for the record, urine and poop doesn't bother me because I get that every day. But my weakness, my ultimate weakness, is sputum, phlegm. Just the sight of somebody hacking up a lung in a cup, just the sight of that specimen will send me into uncontrollable heaves. I will gag so hard. I don't know why. You know, you could just cover me in diarrhea, and I'm sure that's like a thing for some people, like a turn on. And it's, don't get me wrong, it's gross. But spit on me, and I will completely freak out. It's weird.
You lose it completely, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know what it is. It's disgusting.
So you know what you've just done, don't you? You will it now start either having nightmares of being in rooms full of people with snot hanging out of their nose?
I get swept away by a tidal wave of green, bloody phlegm. So gross.
This is so taking the worst turn ever.
I know. Well, let me, some... I know, we're all over the place, but I don't really care. the human body is just disgusting. Let me just say that.
Well, you know, so the Exorcist movie where she starts puking that green stuff everywhere, so you would have died right there.
Yeah, oh, vomit's the other one. That's pretty terrible. Vomit. I am probably one of those people that if I'm in a car and somebody starts blowing chunks, just that smell, I'll probably reciprocate with blowing chunks.
You're a sympathetic vomiter, huh?
Yeah, but you could throw dirty diapers at me all day long and it won't faze me.
Ugh, God, that smell.
We all have our things.
I raised one, and I changed that a lot, but, you know, I don't care anything about going back and doing that again.
Yeah, I've done that, too, and it's pretty gross, but, I mean, the stuff that our body generates is really, really disgusting, and I see it literally every day.
So, speaking of diapers, do you remember seeing that video that kind of went viral of the child that stood up on the side of its crib, screaming and yelling like somebody was holding it there?
That sounds vaguely familiar. I remember seeing a couple different baby cam videos that were weird, that were there. I don't remember seeing anyone, like any kids levitating, but was the baby like standing and then like it was talking to someone?
Yeah, it was standing on the side of the crib like somebody was holding, because he had his little arms straight out.
I think I did see that. Yeah, yeah. And then the first thing that comes to my mind, of course, is, okay, this is just somebody creatively using After Effects or some software, something like
right.
that, but who knows.
Right. But, you know, that's what we do. We get paranormal stuff caught on film all the time, or on voice recordings and things like that, and everybody in the world debunks it. But then these are the same people that are like, show me evidence of life after death, and you can give them pictures, videos, things like that over and over and over again, and they refuse to believe it. They debunk it. They do everything.
You have to be a little bit open. I mean, I'm not totally closed off, but if somebody presents me with some sort of evidence, I am going to do my best to try and come up with an explanation. And, I mean, I've experienced things and seen things that I can't explain. It doesn't mean they're not, doesn't mean they're paranormal, but, you know, I've run into that many times.
Right. And we all do. And we have things that happen in our daily lives that we don't. We think it's strange at the time, but then you just kind of shrug it off because it's not something that continues. But you were talking about your TV coming on. I know there were a couple of times when I would come home and I have a light would be on in my bedroom. And this little light bulb that I have, it's kind of, I use it kind of like for a night light type thing. In a different room, because it's in a different bedroom. But I'll turn it on. It does different lights. It's yellow or orange or blue, green, you know, anything like that. I always have it on a whatever color. And I come home a couple of days in a row, and the lamp would be on, and it would be a completely different color than what it was that I had it set on. It only happened twice, and it's never happened again. And this is one of those fancy light bulbs that are controlled with a remote control.
So maybe
so
a cat
actually,
stepped on the remote control?
Yeah, I would like to say that, but the remote was not available for anything to step on. Like, he keeps the remote in a drawer. So unless somebody opened the drawer.
Maybe it's HARP in Alaska using high energy radio waves that are frying our brains, and your light is susceptible to that.
Well, you know what? If anything that goes on in Alaska can reach this far to where I am, that's pretty freaking amazing. It has tore up the whole western part of the country. But I did have, actually, I had something really interesting to happen to me just this week. I have a dog that stays in the house with me, and she's Coyote. And I've had her for 7 years. And I know I was sitting here watching TV, and she starts doing that low growl, like, you know how dogs will hear somebody pull up in the driveway or something like that, and they kind of start growling just a little bit? Well, that's what she was doing. And then it kind of got to be a little bit of a bark in there, and she's standing beside of me looking behind me. And I'm petting her, and I'm telling her everything's okay, you know, it's nothing, there's nobody here, nobody's outside, nobody's driving around or anything like that. Well, I start feeling pressure on the back of my head, like somebody was taking their finger and pushing it onto my head really hard. And then I'm sitting here thinking, okay, so there's somebody behind me. She's growling at them. And I turn around and look, and there's nobody there. And, of course, then the pressure immediately goes away.
So is your place haunted?
Not really, no. I would not call my house haunted, no. There's nothing that happens here on a regular basis.
So I would say, as a fake scientist of the paranormal, the dog was growling to some unperceivable thing, which in turn triggered your brain to create a sensation in the back of your head.
There you go. See, we can go for that already.
Or the dog was growling because there was, like, some disembodied alien from Alpha Centauri, specifically, that was using a device on the back of your head to alter your memories, and you were abducted and probed over the course of several hours.
She did start growling right that evening when we started to go to bed, and I finally just said, whatever's here, just leave and go on. It's time for us to go to sleep. And, you know, she quit growling.
And is that out of character for her? Like, growling like that?
It is.
An everyday thing?
Yeah. When we're inside the house, yes. We can be outside at night, and of course I live in the country, so there's plenty of possums and coons and rabbits and coyote, other things out there. And she'll see something move in the dark that I can't see, and then she'll run back and forth, you know, barking at whatever, but it's usually always outside. For her to do that in the house, it's kind of different.
Like, are you out there? Can you see neighbors? Are you, like, totally in the middle of nowhere where you're at?
I can see porch lights, but I would never have to worry about somebody, like, standing on their front porch and being able to see my house. I've got one that's beside of me, but it's not a next-door neighbor type thing like you see in the city. It's like there's an acre or two between you. But I only have, where I live, I only have like 1, 2, 3 people around me.
So you're pretty much primed to get abducted by aliens where you're at. I mean, they could land in your backyard.
Oh, yeah. I've got a 70-acre farm, and then on 3 sides of me is probably, 300-400 acres of farmland. Of course, you have to remember, I'm really close to a national park as well.
I don't know if I'd be able to sleep at night. I'd have, like, the latest in home security. I'd be too afraid that little grays are going to start crawling all the house and in the chimneys. And
well, thankfully, I have no chimney. And I do know how to shoot. So, and that's the best part about around here. And I know liberals are probably just, like, shivering right now, but I own guns, and I've used them to shoot at predatory animals that don't need to be around here, and I'm also not afraid to shoot somebody that I feel threatened by. I've never had to do that, because where I live, that's a general knowledge. You don't go knocking on somebody's door or be around their house at night unannounced. Because
so basically what you're telling me is it probably wouldn't be wise to come down to visit you and walk out in your field with the Bigfoot costume.
No, it would not be a good thing. Would not be a good thing.
Or say like a Chewbacca costume.
Well, I don't know. Now, Chewie's pretty cute, so I probably wouldn't shoot at that. But yeah, regular Bigfoot, alien costume, not a good idea.
Well, we're polar opposites. I live in the city, and there are houses within feet, and I'm kind of envious because I've always been a country boy at heart. And yes, I would live in the country if I would risk living in the country, risk the alien grays coming after me, just so I could live.
Well, see, I grew up in a little city, and it's really different living. I don't know, living where I've been living for many, many years, I don't know how I ever lived in the city, because the houses were like right next to each other. And of course now, and I don't know if it's this way in your area, but houses that are pretty close to each other, the sides of the house don't have windows. It's just a solid wall. And, of course, where I grew up in an older home, and there were windows everywhere. And, of course, we just had blinds or curtains pulled. But, you know, I'm one of these people that I don't want to live in a house and not know that I can't go look out the window and see what's going on all the way around me.
And that's how it is here,
like,
in the city,
yeah.
Portland. It's exactly like that. And what you're finding is they're building houses closer and closer together. So you have one old house on a lot. They tear it down. They put two houses there. So you could almost reach to the from one house to the other. It's so terrible.
I've noticed that there's an area probably about 5 or 6 miles away from me, and everybody loved that community. And it's a good little town. They have little festivals in their town, and it's always a nice place to be. And I've noticed that they've done that. If there is a lot between two houses, they'll shove a house in the middle of it. And then you'll have, it's just crazy. I just don't like that. But yeah, I don't know how I ever lived in the city after I've lived out here. Because when it's cloudy in the city and you've got the light pollution and it's hanging, you can see the street lights. The sky is the same color as the street lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you come out here, and if it's overcast and there's a full moon, I mean, it's just like there's lights out there. It's the sky lights up the field, and you can just see forever and ever out through here. It's just completely different. Like I said, I don't know how I lived in the city as long as I did.
Yeah, well, you're not missing much. I mean, there are very few benefits to living in the city. I mean, stores are closer, and it's easier to get fast food, and maybe you're a little bit closer to a hospital. But other than that, I would much rather live out in the country and be able to see the stars. I don't even remember the last time I actually saw the stars. I haven't been getting out much lately.
No, you work all the time. Your whole four days of the week. And you're, like, veged out on the couch inside for the other 3 days. Yeah, Jason, that's not good for you.
I'm with you. Well, one of these days off, I get out and commune with nature and do some tree hugging. And
you know. No, actually, you could just come out here. I've got a barn that needs to be cleaned out right now because the cows...
Yeah, I'm allergic to physical fever, just so you know.
Well, you said you can handle all that.
PhD in laziness. I'm a professional lazy person, although I do work.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Not on welfare, you know.
Well,
but we are...
Know. Yeah.
We have only got a few minutes left. I think that hour went by quickly. And I'm still half asleep.
Well, see, now you can just hang up the phone, turn off your computer, and you can just roll over and take your nap.
Oh, that sounds so amazing. But see, I can't go to bed too early because that'll kind of ruin it. And then I'll be up at 3 a.m. And, you know. It's funny,
well,
I have a very particular schedule. I go to bed at 11 o'clock at night every night.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's like an internal clock. 11 o'clock comes around. I'm like, yeah, it's time to go to bed.
Well, my internal clock, it doesn't matter what time I go to bed. 4:30, 5 o'clock comes, a.m. comes around and my eyes are open.
So if you go to bed at 2 in the morning, you'll be up at 5?
Yes.
Oh, that's
it's nice. Awful. It's awful. But I do that every day, and then I get up and I go feed the cows, and then I start getting ready for work, and, you know, then the day drags on, and I get home about 12 hours later, and then it's time to do it all over again.
Do you slaughter your own cows and, like, have your own steak and stuff?
No, I don't do that.
Or are they, like, pet cows?
I sell the calves.
Oh.
I get a good herd of cows, and I have a bull that takes care of the breeding process, and then I sell the calves after they're probably about 6-7 months old. I keep them quite a while, and I keep them with their mama, and then I also feed them. So they're really fat and woolly right now. I have very well-fed cows.
I like cows. I like my baby back ribs.
They do taste good. We've had a few. We've had to lock them up. Something's wrong with them, and they would dock us at the market for them. So we would lot them up and fatten them up and take them off to have them slaughtered. And yeah, they do taste. Beef is just really good.
I know. Amazing. Well, with that, I guess we'll sign off. This is like episode 280 something. Or 50 something. I don't even know. It's a lot. This podcast has been going on for like a... But I want to thank everybody for listening.
It gets more exciting each time.
I know. So exciting. Thanks for listening, everyone. It's time for me to go to bed. Have a good week. All right. Well, it's always a pleasure, Maria.
I guess I'll get to talk to you next week as well.
Yeah. So with that, I'm going to eat some dinner and get even sleepier. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And if not, if you haven't already, give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, for the latest in funny, amusing, entertaining memes. Is that how you say it, memes, or is it memes? Memes?
Memes.
Yeah, we're all about the memes. We can reach upwards of 6 million people a week on our Facebook page. That's been slacking lately. I think it's only 500,000 this week. But we are really good in the memes. We know how to know how to do the memes.
Epstein did not kill himself.
All right. Well, everybody, I hope you have a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see you later. Good night, everyone.
Good night.